This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I am here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to KYKN, and this is your place to get local talk radio. It is the place to go for what is happening in the Mid-Willamette Valley here in Salem and Kaiser, Polk and Marion counties. Especially want to thank the Polk County listeners. We got a lot of listeners out there.
Oh, yeah. And we're famous there.
And Marion County here. We have the fair. It's coming up later this week.
Oh, we're going to
be broadcasting. It'll be my very first remote.
Really?
Right? Yep. Outside of the studio.
Newbie.
Going on Marion County Fair. We're going to be trying the ice cream, and we're going to check it out.
We'll have to try it all on the air.
All that there is. And Dave is participating in the competition for table setting. Right, table decorations, things. So
I'm pretty good at it.
To explain to us. No, I'm kidding. We've got the mayor here. He's looking at me. Dave is doing this?
No. I'm sorry.
Dave
I have
is going to explain.
Are you kidding me?
The difference between
you're just messing with
the
me.
Salad fork and the dessert
wow,
fork.
Wow, is that right? Really? You're a table decorator.
I'm pretty good at it.
Are you really? Yeah. That's cool.
Mom made me set the table a lot.
Anyway, welcome. It's Tuesday. Yeah. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett here from the City of Salem. Welcome, Chuck.
Thank you.
It's nice
to
have you back.
Appreciate
it's
the
always
chance
nice to have you and hear things about the city.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
All right. So Dave and I will talk later after you're gone about his table setting skills and the Marion County Fair. However, let's talk about what's going on. You guys just had a meeting last night at Salem City Council.
We did. We had actually a long meeting last night. We did about 4 hours, went till 10 o'clock. Usually we're able to get done by 8, but it went quite a while. And we had some pretty meaty issues on the table. The city has been considering City Council for almost a year, adding new revenue to the city's coffers, looking at about, ultimately, about $16 million coming into the city, and it's ongoing to fill what's seen as a short-term and ultimately a long-term gap that's occurred between the cost of city government and the revenue generated by property taxes and other fees that are collected and other funds.
$16 million. I thought we were talking $6 to $8 million.
It's plug the hole, fill the gap, I think is the way I've heard it described.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's the short-term problem is an $8 million shortfall.
Okay.
The long-term problem goes beyond that. And so they were looking at two funding sources at about $8 million apiece, and that may be where some of the confusion arose, I guess. But one is an operating fee, which is essentially just a line item on your utility bill that says City of Salem operating fee. And I believe as we it started the evening at $10. I believe it closed at $8 for residential, but went up to just over $48 a month for commercial business type folks. So
wow.
It's actually a reasonably substantial. It'd be about 8 to 10. Well, it'd be about $8 a month if it's the $8 mark. So 8 times 12 is what, 96. So about $96 a year that would go to the city.
And so when you say commercial, is that multifamily as well?
Multifamily is, I believe, $6 per unit or something like that. It's that kind of, and it was changing last night, and I apologize. I didn't bring what the final thing looked like, that they have now advanced to the city council for final action.
So no vote to the citizens then?
Not yet. I'm not sure where that'll end up. I was very clear I'm not going to support this at all unless they send it, both it and the other tax, which is a payroll tax of 0.036% on a payroll. And that has some other, that would be you and me.
Brent broke out his pen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those two are going to the city council for final consideration and see and move forward with then what are you going to do?
Right.
My recommendation was put together a ballot measure and send it out as early as you can to the voters and let the voters decide. I was told, thank you, Mayor, for your thoughts. You know,
wow.
Yeah, you often, and that's not an unusual occurrence, but at least it was thank you for your thoughts. There's other
city
things.
Council.
There's some subtext there.
City council, but, come on.
I think the council, if I understood the conversation, the debate on this, the council feels they were elected to represent people. They were elected with a full understanding of where they stood on issues, and people really expect them to go in and do the right thing. So they're going to, I think what they will do is over the next several weeks or couple months, enact these without a vote. I think that's where they're headed.
Isn't that taxation without representation, though?
No, because you got the representative sitting there voting for it.
Yeah, I didn't.
My philosophy is a little different than that. It's just really that you don't reach into people's pockets without asking for their permission.
Yeah, it's
I really
mugging.
Uncomfortable with that. It's real basic to me that when you start dealing, particularly in these larger numbers, I mean, we're talking an ongoing revenue source for the city. You really ought to go to the voters. The assumption is that if the public understood how dire the situation is, they would want as quick a fix as possible because it really forestalls any potential cuts. Sure. And then, as usual, the cuts are always described in terms of police or fire.
Always.
Always. Always. And I really don't like that. I'm very uncomfortable with that presentation. It's the dead in the streets thing we've heard on mm-hmm. different kinds of state level ballot measures.
And the state level, it's always we're going to increase class sizes. It's your children are going to suffer. It's always education.
And grandma's going to be thrown to the street.
Yeah. Always education. And So
my argument, frankly, is look, we do have a problem, and we have demands on services like take care of this homeless problem, or we'd like to have better traffic patrols. We need sidewalks. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think we can make a really good case to the voters that this or something like this is what's needed in Salem. It was needed in Kaiser to add police services, not to save police services. So I think it would also give the public a real opportunity to understand how their city is financed. I mean, it's simple things like the total amount of property taxes collected in Salem on everything does not pay for the full cost of police and fire, let alone a library and parks and planning. And I can go on with the list of city programs, certainly not homelessness programs, and you just keep going. So we've got some real demands and a real lack of a real shortfall in funds. But that ought to be part of a long-term a campaign discussion where then people can say, you know, I agree. Or, you know what, fellas, frankly, you're doing more than I want you to do, and so I'm not going to support this. But that to me is more what the conversation ought to look like instead of me talking to 5 or 6 or 7 city councilors. That's not the right. And among ourselves, and we know best. When it's coming out of somebody's pocket, I'm not sure we always know best, nor do we fully understand where the public is in these issues.
We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem, and just learning about how the City Council is advancing a couple of revenue items, a payroll tax and basically a line item tax that's going to go to the general fund that's going to come up in your utility bill, folks. So, and yours and everyone else's. We're going to talk more about this, plus some other things that were on the agenda last night having to do with Minto Brown Park, Riverview Park, the police station and some traffic. Lots of things going on. We're going to try to fit it in 10 minutes when we come back. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Don't you love how dramatic that sounds? It's like, we're going to do something really heavy here. I like that music. Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart.
Jaws.
Here with Mayor Chuck
That's
Taylor.
That's why I picked it.
Chuck Taylor. I'm here with Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem, our beloved mayor. We're talking about the revenue. The revenue measures have just moved forward. What I want everyone to be able to understand here, Mayor, is how do we go from what the vote last night to this is actually going to become part of city law, and when will they see it on the bill?
How will they see it? The concept, and I'll be somewhat vague because this can all change a little bit, but it moves from last night from the city council. The city staff is now working on the recommendations, which were some adjustments in the numbers a little bit. Some parts up, some parts down. But then kind of the numbers I was talking about are generally the numbers agreed upon last night. The city staff will get that ready, put it into what's called an ordinance, which is essentially a law. It will then come to the city council for a decision to begin enacting it. It takes two readings, which takes about a month to get through both readings. So I'd say I think they will vote again on this probably on July 22nd or the first part of August, essentially moving it forward and enacting it, or they can choose to send it to the ballot, one or the other. But I think they're on the enact it course. They rejected the send it to the ballot last night. So that will then come back to them in August, September, probably be ready to go by November would be my guess, is when it would actually start showing up on the bill.
Okay. So who voted no with you?
Jim Lewis.
Jim Lewis. And it was were all the councilors present?
Councilor Nenke was not present last night.
All right. So you had eight people there and went down six to two.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Let's just move this forward. Mm. So we want to thank West Salem Councilor Ward H, Jim Lewis, for voting with the mayor and say, don't put this forward unless you're going to go to the voters.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody else, folks. This is going to be a huge surprise to you. I'm just going to shock people. You better hold on to the steering wheel. Those are the same people that voted not to have a bridge. Just saying.
That's right.
I am just saying. And these are the same people that made us give up plastic bags and had a measure to pay themselves. And shall we go on? But then we don't have a bridge and we're a inclusive city. And
straws, too.
Yeah, straws.
No, I don't think straws.
So it hasn't made it yet?
No. I'm just... Anyway, we'll talk about this in a little while. Okay. When the mayor leaves, we have tension to rant about it so he doesn't have to listen to
us. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So let's move on because in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about this more.
Yeah, this will be, I think, a lot of community discussion. If it isn't, it'll be enacted. I mean, either the community wants to have a more whole, a fuller discussion, or they just say in the council really should just do the enacting.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, Mayor, I'm going to switch gears on you entirely. Yeah. And there was a couple of things on the agenda having to do with urban renewal money flowing towards some improvements that are necessary for the police station.
Correct.
One, the station itself, and one, some transportation improvements on Division Street, which, of course, it borders that, amongst others. What's the mechanism for that? What's that money? Is it having to do with cost overruns? Is it having to do with why is that money flowing into the city instead of the bond measure paying for all of this?
Yeah, the bond measure was based on a certain economic reality, whatever, 3 or 4 years ago, whenever that passed. I can't remember exactly. But it was set based on analysis of the cost of construction of a building generally that size, about 115,000 square feet. Then Since then, we've had an absolute explosion in costs and in availability of labor and other things for any kind of construction just in the Salem area. There's $1 billion worth of public construction on the book, headed toward the books right now, which means people who do construction are able to charge more, but also the availability of steel and concrete and aluminum, and steel and aluminum, particularly prices went up because of tariffs. And so the costs have been escalating tremendously. The built-in cost, the cooked-in cost was about, as I recall, about 3%, and it has been twice that. So it's just been really going up. And then just the availability of people to do the work. So wages have gone up substantially. I mean, it's one of those, just the kind of the market basket for construction became a lot more expensive. So we have been kind of backfilling that using some urban renewal dollars. And
is that a grant? Is it a loan? How's that work?
It's a grant. I mean, we identify carefully pieces of the project, including streets, other aspects of it that can be appropriately financed by what are the tax increment dollars that flow into the Urban Renewal Agency. And what the city's done is sort of cut back on some other urban renewal programs slightly, and only for about 9 months or a year will those be. And it has to do with other kinds of grants that are unspecified.
Okay, so that was my question, because usually urban renewal money...
We're not losing anything.
Urban renewal money is earmarked for a project on a program that's written into the plan, so you have to take it out or either have excess money more than you anticipated, but it's not allocated to a certain project or plant in the urban renewal area.
But this is, remember, the police station's in the urban renewal area,
North Gateway,
north downtown, but it's in the riverfront urban renewal area. It's in north downtown, so a great deal of it that is eligible can be funded with these kinds of funds, and that's what's been happening. And it's one of those, it has also been reduced in size by about 11,000 square feet, the building itself. There have been some changes in the various kinds of materials being used. There have been, the example given last night is they went through the building very carefully and removed one plug-in in every office or something like that, and saved thousands of dollars by just eliminating one plug-in in each of the offices. They've done things like that, and it's through a construction design build program, which allowed the city and the contractors to work together in building the design and the building itself. So as they began seeing these cost overruns, we've been affecting design changes and other changes. But we also have an obligation before it's over to come in with a police station people voted for. We can't just come in with a shrunken version that doesn't include a community room and a plaza and parking and a whole batch of other stuff.
How are we doing on a timeline? Still?
We're going to open September 2020.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Well, yeah, been by it lately? It's a sight to behold.
I was just
three
there.
Stories. It's really quite.
Maybe we should have approved the higher amount the first time.
Right.
Well, that would have been good.
Okay. But, so something fun and pretty. Let's talk about that while we have some time left. Some restoration, and this has been an ongoing, for a decade or more. Some restoration at Minto Brown, and also there were two urban renewal or parks related, and the other one had to do with the Pringle area and the slab removal, the concrete there, where the creek meets the slough, right?
Pretty much. It's the old kind of a fish passage area at the Boise Cascade paper mill. If you'll recall, just north of what is now that whole batch of apartments that replaced the paper mill at South Park, there's a great big slab of concrete there, which is being removed, and that's what the action is last night. But what the effective change is going to be, there currently is a path that runs from 12th Street through the Willamette campus all the way along Pringle and the, along Mill Creek, really, to the Commercial Street Bridge, which is the bridge that sort of spans the creek, Pringle Creek, between Magoo's and the South Block.
Right.
It will tear that slab out and give us the opportunity to build the bridge that's needed, the footbridge and bicycle bridge that will go under the car bridge there and connect up and allow you then to move along this path, along the creeks, both the Mill and Pringle Creek, all the way through from 12th Street to right into Riverfront Park. And then we'll also be looking at that point at another bridge across Pringle Creek down toward the mouth of the creek to connect that to what will be another riverfront pathway heading along the kind of below the railroad tracks and below the South Block. It's a really, it's a long-term plan. Like you said, it's been 10, 15 years we've been talking about this, and we're slowly but surely getting her done.
Ultimately, we want a nice creek bed that's visual and healthful, that's between the, we said South Park. It's not about Stan and, you know, Kenny. It's South Block, folks.
Right.
South Park. South Park.
Kenny's still alive. Yeah.
But just north of that, to daylight that creek. And like the mayor was saying, at one time that was a fish passage. The salmon were coming up there and this and that. Anyway, daylight that, get the construction rock out of there. Get, if you haven't walked across that Commercial Street Bridge, which, by the way, did get replaced, completely replaced in the Streets and Bonds measures from 10 years ago. Yeah, it is ugly. It is downright ugly. It's coyote ugly.
And, ugly.
I had another word, but I wasn't going to use it on the radio.
Thank God.
But that slab goes out of there, and there'll be one more step towards making that even more attractive to the commercial buildings that are going to follow.
Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, it's going to be both attractive and a tremendously – I mean, people are going to really like this. If you live in either the Cessna, the Southeast Salem Neighborhood Association, the old Richmond neighborhood, or up north of State Street, these are the neighborhoods that span State Street, Northeast neighbors, the Inglewood area – those folks are going to be able to move quickly down to a pathway through Willamette, through all along that Pringle Creek Urban Renewal Area, under the bridge and into the park, totally separated from traffic. It's going to be quite
nice. That's a nice thing to do.
Park, into the new amphitheater. It's going to be built over to Minto Brown and over to West Salem.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
It's nice for pedestrians and things. We still need the bridges.
I thought we had a second thing having to do with replanting. Part of last night's agenda as well?
Yeah, it's a contract we have with the Willamette River Keepers we've had for a number of years. If you recall, Brent, we entered into an agreement with the federal government when we took some grants to allow us to purchase actually big chunks of Minto Island and that whole Minto Island area, that it would be returned to a more natural state. And this is part of that process. It's planting of native species down in there and removing invasive species.
And this is just the new phase.
And it's just the next phase.
All right. So we're going to kick the mayor out here. We're talking to Mayor of City of Salem, Chuck. And he is going to leave us here so Dave and I can rant about everything that's going on. And
I want to mention Thursday morning at about 9:30 or 10, I'll be over at the, probably between 9:30 and 10, I'll be over at the West Salem or at the Edgewater West Salem Farmers Market for coffee with the mayor. Please feel free to come by, if nothing else, to shop for some really great produce at the farmer's market over there, or just sit around and talk and tell me what you think about the kind of stuff we talked about today.
This Thursday morning, come by for coffee with the mayor. West Salem, that's on Edgewater District, right?
Yeah.
And the farmer's market, before you go to the Marion County Fair, you can do that.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, hey, thank you for being here. Thanks for your vote last night.
Thanks,
Mayor.
We're
going to be right back to finish up your lunch hour here on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Oh, that's right.
That's completely different for those who are around to the 70s. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and this is Newsmakers. I want to thank Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem for being with us. We only have him for like 20 minutes, so it's want to get as much out of him as we can and not pontificate too much on what's going on until after he leaves.
You got to squeeze the information out of him.
To get the information out so he doesn't have to listen to us rant, although during the break sometimes he does hear a reaction from Brent and Dave. All right, can we just talk about the whole concept of these tax increases? Do you see a parallel between what the city council is doing and what the legislature just did in the last 5 months?
Totally.
It's like, we have a majority. We were put here. We're going to do whatever we want, right?
Pretty much.
And it goes back to, and I'm not sure if this is resonating with you folks as far as my preposition example. It's like, do you work for the people? Are you their employee? Especially at the legislature, volunteer at city council. Legislature, you work for the people. You look after their best interests. And the attitude that I feel with the prevailing party is they work on behalf of the people however they see fit.
Right.
What they think is best for the little children, for the little people. Whatever they think is best for the little people, they do on their behalf, even if it's not something that they want, even if it's something they're vehemently against or really, really want, like a bridge. So now let's move this over to Salem City Council, and we have the exact same kind of parallel. Well, you know, yeah, there's an argument to be made, apparently, that we should have a vote. And we and the populace that you're supposed to represent should have a vote in whether or not you're going to raise your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So that doesn't matter because they were elected to represent and they're going to move forward and they're going to have this leadership and they're going to charge forward. Right. And not send to the voters, not give the voters an option to have fewer services, smaller return balances each year and so forth. Wow. These are the same people that despite, and they're saying, well, it's our job to represent the people. But which people? We got elected, and so therefore, you know, these we need to, I wrote it down, represent people, represent the people. We got hired to do it. But where were you when 80% of the people wanted you to move forward with the bridge project, with the river crossing?
Right.
Where were you? Were you representing them?
No.
You didn't represent the 80%.
No.
So, hello. And now, you know, all I got to think, all I have to say to Salem City Council members from last night is thank you. Thank you. Because one misstep after another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about fodder for it's going to happen fast, folks. We're talking about 6 months from now, we're going to have new people filing to run against some of these people, right? So just go down the list. These are the people that went against 80% of the city, and these are river crossing, especially anybody who's been caught in traffic, right? These are the people that brought up that they thought they should be paid. They're volunteer positions. They're not full-time jobs. They're part-time jobs. No, they're part-time volunteer positions.
Right.
And good ones, they put in some time, but there's not a city of our size anywhere around that pays their city councilors. That's just not how this governance works.
They're thinking they're in Portland.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So then there was that. Then there was the ban of the plastic bags. And then there's the inclusive city because they probably went in too much trouble for saying sanctuary.
Right.
Right. So they use
inclusive
instead of sanctuary. And now revenue increases. Oh, don't not forget. Let's go against everything the city said for the last 10 years on the Kubler development. Right where the Costco was going to go in.
Yeah, what's
and
up with that?
Reversing course us on that.
Oh, jeez.
So, same people, folks. It just watch your mail. There'll be campaign pieces in February, March, April, May next year. And a few of these people are going to be up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
And one, we need you to run. We need you to run. If you cannot run, we need you to walk door to door and fight for whoever is going to replace these counselors.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Amen. Way to preach it, Brent.
Preach it. Preach it. That's the same. Well, that's kind of interesting. And I get the whole budget reality and the hard decisions that have to be made. And
I get that,
decisions.
Too, but it should be presented to the people that they're supposed to be representing.
Mm-hmm. Unconscionable to not do that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's the city issues. Let's talk about something we were talking before the show, and we just have to hit on it because, you know, it affects... We're talking about the police station and how blessed we are to have the police chief that we have. Mm-hmm. And the police department is actually fairly well regarded and has a good relationship with the public. And what do you do if someone walks into your establishment and they're patronizing you and say, hey, there's a group of police officers over there, so I don't feel comfortable?
This is...
Right? In the news?
Well,
right?
Yes.
So... My question, and I listened to three or four different news broadcasts to handle this national story at a Starbucks, right? And it's isolated. I don't think it has anything to do with Starbucks Inc. or anything like that. But there's a couple of things that just sound moronic to me. And one is, why didn't the employee say, I'm sorry you feel that way. You're free to go.
Right.
You don't have to be here. It's like... You have the problem. Nobody else. There is no problem, right? Everyone's sipping their coffee and having their Danish or whatever. There is absolutely no problem. There's no problem in these four walls. But you don't feel comfortable, so I'm sorry if you feel that way and you feel like you need to leave now. Why wasn't that the answer? That's when I'm like, hello, Mr. Employee, why'd you go over to the other group that were minding their own business?
And having coffee, too.
Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine if just... I'm the only male in a place, and a bunch of females are having, and then someone says, I don't feel comfortable because there's a male here. So I have to go? I'm like, I don't get it. Why didn't the employee say, I'm sorry you feel that way. I hope you come see us again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, there's not a problem in these four walls. There's no issue.
I would have said.
There is no conflict.
I would have said.
There is no hostility. There's
nothing.
I'm
sorry you feel that way. Would you like a to-go cup? That's what I would have said. You know,
in reality, yeah, I probably wouldn't have been even as polite as I described it. But yours was perfect. Would you like a to-go cup? So, hey, if you see the men in blue, thank them. Thank them for their service.
I always thank the police officers whenever I see them. They're out in public. They're eating. They're drinking their coffee, and the cliche one, they're having a donut, or they're driving through the neighborhood. I thank them for being there, and I feel more safe when they're around. How do these people feel uncomfortable with a group of police officers being in a coffee shop, which is a public place?
The other thing that confused me, as I said, I watched a number of news stories about this national story.
Yeah.
And nobody asked the question. Nobody said, it's unclear why the person who was uncomfortable didn't just leave. Who has the audacity to ask somebody else to leave that's minding their business? One,
right.
They have the audacity to even complain. And two, the employee has the audacity to complain to people who are also their customer.
Mm-hmm.
Who are patronizing them,
right?
Who are not doing anything, so except drinking their coffee, presumably. So where are the reporters who are going to ask that very obvious question? If I go into a place, if I walk down a neighborhood, if I walk down an alley, and I don't feel comfortable, I just leave.
Right.
You don't ask somebody else to leave. Right? You're at a party. And,
especially
you
the
know,
police
people...
officers. Oh, what? Oh, my God.
It hurts my brain.
It does mine, too. Okay, this brings up the other question. Where do you feel the safest? Do you feel safer at a coffee shop where the police are hanging out sipping their coffee? Or do you feel safe walking into a building that's a gun-free zone? I feel safer with the police around me. I'm sorry. I feel safer at the airport knowing that the TSA are there.
Yeah. Oh, I hate the TSA. I hate the whole thing,
yeah,
but I can fall asleep on the plane.
Right.
And not have to worry about it.
And not have to worry about it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So 1997, I built a gas station. And it was in a neighborhood who had its struggles and what have you. But I reached out to the local police because we know they spend a lot of time on reports.
Sure.
Right. You know, that's just a given. And they're sitting in their cars and they have their computers and they spend a lot of time. It's important. I said, I wanted to please let your night shift people know that my, because we weren't open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It's going to go dark. And I said, they're more than welcome to use my lot to sit in the neighborhood, you know.
That's a good idea.
To sit on the lot and do their reports if they're, whenever they need to stop or they're taking their break or whatever it is. So
did you give them free gas too?
No. That would.
Free coffee?
That would. I was closed.
Well, what if they were? No, did they stop by during the day and give them free coffee?
I don't know. I would have.
Okay.
But what? But, you know, that's the thing is who's there protecting our property and our people. So
yeah, that was a good idea.
Yeah, let them know. So we're going to be open and you're more than welcome to sit there when you need to stop and take your breaks and do your.
That was brilliant, actually.
I'm a brilliant guy. Sometimes
Brent Hart, now and brilliant.
Then, sometimes I come up with a good idea. All right, a few more things to talk about coming up. Something happens. Brian Boquist in the Capitol. Talk about overreaction. Let's talk about that overreaction. I'm Brent Hart here with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery. The things we talk about when we're not on the air.
Welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers.
Outstanding.
I hope you're having a good time. We're having a good time here. A couple things we want to hit before we run out of time here. This hour, Senator Brian Boquist.
This is unbelievable.
There's a couple things. I don't have time. We're going to deal with this. But Brian Boquist and, of course, Marion County. I want to talk about Colin Willis and his embroiled into this pseudo controversy over not having special training just in Marion County, paid for by Marion County, to train public health people in transgender issues. Okay, but we're going to hopefully get to that. Brian Boquist. So he got in trouble. He was apparently a little volatile one day, and here's a gentleman I've met in the past, but I probably haven't seen him in 20 years. I don't know the senator, although I do know that he served us and he served the military and has that background and was a state representative, now a state senator. And he got a little hot under the collar, apparently, and said some things he shouldn't have said. Right?
Shouldn't have said them.
The thing he said to the Senate president, let me try to, I want to, it's a quote here. It's like, this is a special kind of hell. Oh, yeah. Hell is coming to visit you personally. If you're going to send, this is when the Republican senators are going to walk out. And he says, don't you send a state police after me. This is, you know, hell is coming to you personally, referring to Peter Courtney, if you send the state police after me, right? So that's comment number one that got him in trouble, which he apologized for moments thereafter. Okay? This is the thing in America where you can't make a mistake. I was just thinking yesterday about something I did in college or something. Did I act inappropriately towards this person in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm a lot more woke now.
Yeah. Say.
but I don't know. The person can't get mad and say something. They can't say, oh, I'm going to beat you up on the playground and without being seen as a violent offender or whatever it is. He's sure, we should have more decorum and sure he should have more self-restraint than that. For whatever reason, how the conversation went, he said something really heated to the Senate president and then apologized. And that should be the end of it.
Should be.
Right. It shouldn't be you're banned from the building.
But then he did another, what can be construed as a
threat
later on, though.
So the comment had to do with, if the state police come looking for him at his home, you better send the bachelors and you better be well armed.
In
other words, I am going to protect my home, presumably with firearms, right?
Right.
You come after me, someone's going to get hurt. That's a little over the line, right?
Yeah, he was mad, definitely.
Yeah. So, but now, and this is hitting national news. I mean, the Huffington Post is covering it and this and that. And they're banning. Well, they put restrictions on when he can come to the building. He has to give advance notice, right? And
police escort.
You really think, I don't know. Am I wrong, folks? Am I wrong, listener? Brian Boquist is not going to come and start a violent resurrection in the Oregon State Capitol building.
No.
Because he said some, discipline him. Right? Condemn his comments. unlike him on Facebook.
Right.
Send him to sensitivity training. I don't know, but you're a senator, but you have to notify the state police if you're going to come and do your job.
That's a little over the top.
I don't know. Maybe we should reach out and see if we can get the senator's version on this, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. So, if friends of Senator Boquist, be sure to give us a call. All right. I want to touch on this real quickly. Maybe we'll have to go into it again at another time. So you might recall we were talking about this on Newsmakers since new Marion County Commissioner Colin Willis, along with Commissioner Brentano, voted to not fund this training for transgender issues, transgender awareness, and how to handle transgender
issues. Yeah, I remember that
issues,
conversation.
Right? Okay, so there was a complaint filed. There was a complaint filed against him for being discriminatory or what have you. And his point is, this is a policy matter, whether or not we hold trainings. We don't have to do this training. I'm not saying don't serve the population. I'm not saying, you know, I'm paraphrasing and for the commissioner, but he was not saying, let's not serve the population. Let's not offer services. Let's discriminate against them. He just said, I don't think it's our role to hold this training. And I don't think it should be budgeted for. And let's change the budget and not spend the money on this specialized training for a very, very small subset of Marion County residents.
Right.
And they both made a point of saying the training is not bad, but let the state do it. Let somebody else do it. Marion County doesn't have to be the training, the contractor that
the
they hire. Right?
The state should take care of that.
So this is back in the news because there was a meeting set and it was canceled because people saying they weren't going to show up.
Oh.
So I guess where'd they learn that? Apparently they learned that from the Republican commissioners, Republican senators. But Marion County was supposed to have the meeting on Thursday. It was slated, but a number of representatives said that they would not attend and there would not be a quorum, and they canceled the meeting. Why don't you just deal with it, people? Why don't you just show up, air it out, vote, and move on?
Right.
I mean, this is not a huge deal. Why are people so obsessed with creating controversy all the time?
I know, right?
This is a controversy that doesn't need to be. It is a relatively small matter. But, of course, if somebody disagrees with you, clearly you have a black heart and you're stupid and you must hate a whole bunch of people that I haven't figured it out yet. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Folks, every now and then I see a funny post on Dave Bourne's Facebook feed. This one wasn't really funny. It was just too true. It was all about if you're this, you're that. If you're this, if you're that. If you're thin, you're druggy. Or smoke weed, you're druggy. If you're skinny, you're on drugs. If you're dressed down, then you let yourself go. If you speak your mind, you're rude. You know, all these things is that everyone's looking for a reason to dislike everyone.
Yeah, right. You
know, America is addicted to his indignation, and this is not the last time we're going to be talking about this. We got to get off it, folks. Get off every single day looking for a reason to be angry and disgruntled with everyone, all right? Best of luck to Colin Willis. We're on your side. We'll help you come on the show and explain it. And Senator Boquist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he has to say here on Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKM.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.